the song that got me through, and I'm your co-host, Anil Maharjan. This week, we spoke to our guest about a trilogy of stories all centered around one song, Built to Spill's classic, Carry the Zero. We talked about his job guarding a fireworks stand, why Francis Quinlan's version of the song is so great, and what it's like to be an educator in the time of COVID-19. If you want to tell us about a song that's keeping you sane right now, or your first job, submit the form on our Instagram page, or email us, thesongthatgotmethrough@gmail.com. Now, enjoy the show.
Hey, Anil.
Hey, Sarah. How's it going?
It's going good. I'm just excited to hear what you have to say.
I just want you to know that at this point, I have been so bad with our opening banter that at night, I stay up and I think about what I'm going to say. So this week, I have an exciting update for you. A podcast advertising company reached out to us and...
What?
Yes. And I crunched the numbers on how much we could make off of them. And do you want to know how much money we could make per episode?
Hit me with it. I'm ready.
About 11 cents. Yeah. I'm pretty excited for a lucrative future here.
We're about to hit it big time. 11 cents per episode? Are you kidding? That could really make a dent in, I don't know what, but probably something. We can figure out where to spend that.
Yeah, but if we do that, we have absolutely no control over what ads get put into our podcast. So if we want to be able to control it, we'd only make around 3 cents per episode. But, you know, you got to start somewhere.
Honestly, I don't care. That's exciting. Even if it's 3 cents or 11 cents.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I believe our guest this week is gonna get us the listens we need in order to get us up to a solid quarter per episode. So you want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'll bring in that solid 11 cents right here. I'm Ryan. I'm a male in my mid-30s. I live in Tacoma, Washington. I live with my wife and my dog. Yeah, Tacoma, born and raised. Basically lived in Western Washington my entire life. Really, I mean, I've traveled elsewhere, but Zoo has been my roots and been in Tacoma for about the past 10 years. And my occupation is I am in education. I've been in public education for about 10 years. And I currently work in a school, not as a teaching role, but I'm work with a social justice lens to end long-term suspensions and to stop the school-to-prison pipeline. So I get to work with kids day-to-day and help them out and get them to a point where they need to help them succeed in school and stay in school. And so I love my job, but it's changed a lot recently. But music's the main thing that gets me through on those off hours. It's listening to music. I found out very early on that I am not a musician. I live through other people's music, and it's just a great thing. Yeah, once I took guitar class in high school, they're like, yeah, you're probably better listening to music. And that's totally, totally fair. And I love it. And live shows where I live, that's where I spend my resources. I try to average a show a month. But the past years, the new venues opened in Tacoma, I was able to average about a show a week, which was awesome. Always trying to go to festivals, had some good streaks going. While Sasquatch was around, I got to go to 16 of the 17. I just missed the first one. And my festival loves taking me some awesome places like Outside Lands in San Francisco, Mad Cool in Madrid, the Telluride Bluegrass Festival. So I've been able to see some cool places through live music and just really enjoyed that experience.
I am so happy that you also describe your love of music as one that is, you appreciate music, but you cannot play. I often talk about that is more or less exactly where I am. So I am excited to talk about the song. What song are we going to be chatting about this week?
So the song is Carry the Zero by Built to Spill. It was released in 1999 on the Keep It Like a Secret album.
All right, perfect. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
All right, Ryan. So I definitely want to hear the story behind behind this song. I do have to say, Built to Spill is one of those bands that every band that I love loves Built to Spill, yeah. And yet I could never get into them. So you have to forgive me there. I know that they're a phenomenal band, but I definitely want to hear your story associated with this song.
To start the story off, this song just kind of represents in general my love for music and who I am, and just as a general reminder to myself to kind of be myself. In particular, the line, what other persons think and vice versa, that line just really always reminds me to be me. And so I have a longer story to go into it, because it definitely has like taken me through, I'd say, 3 or 4 different points in my life and just changed my perspective. But I know that the song has meaning to many people many different ways, but for me, it started as a general reminder of be who you are and don't lose track of that.
Perfect. Well, let's begin at the beginning.
All right. So it starts with seeing them completely on accident. It was my second Sasquatch Music Festival. I had all intentions of just going to a party and see the Shins and see Postal Service. And I was 18 years old, about 2 weeks away from graduating high school, young, eager, had no idea what life was going to bring me. But just one of my friends had an amazing time and just decided we're going to front row this whole thing. And in order to do that, I went through this amazing lineup of saw Sleater-Kinney, Built to Spill, Shins, Postal Service, and The Roots all in a row in my face. And it changed my life of what I like for music and the variety, different types, different people. And it really was that Built to Spill set that kind of changed my perspective, because we couldn't see a thing because the sun was so bright. We had to turn our backs because you couldn't see a thing. The sun was just blasting. And so I basically just got to see people's face reactions the whole time. And they started playing, and also I see this girl just crying, and I'm just like, wow, someday maybe I'll like something that much where it matters to me like that. And it just really, and then I went along. I mean, I kind of like forgot about that show because I'm like, you know what? But later on, I didn't realize how much of an impact it had, and just kind of slowly started a journey through them. Then about a year later, bought the Keep It Like a Secret album as I was doing night security for a fireworks stand as a summer job. And
what was this job?
I was night security for one of those like fireworks stands in a grocery store parking lot. And that job entailed hanging out in an RV and listening to music and playing video games and making sure nobody broke in.
So
nobody did. I've made sure things are secure. And so I had my handy Discman, which still in 2005 was probably outdated. I hadn't moved on to the iPod yet, but I put that album on, and really just once that third track hit, just the riffs, the guitar, the lyrics, it just really was like, whoa, this band really is speaking to me. And this is, you know, the song kind of heeds to me as a warning to make sure you are yourself. And at that time, I was, you know, a freshman in college. I had no idea what I wanted to do. And just like, you know, stay grounded, keep myself, keep to it. And I did, but then it really kind of became Built to Spill in general. Anytime I was on, I just let loose. I didn't care. It was my band, my songs. If I saw it, heard it at a party or was at a concert, I have seen them about 25 times. And oh, so,
that is a number. Oh my!
Yeah, it's an obsession. But at the same time, I still stay and go see other bands as well. It's not just like I'm not a one band man. But I just would let loose and go crazy and just think, as far as like probably through my 20s, that song kind of represented me just being me. And it wasn't until about 2013, I was like, hit the real world. I got engaged, had a real teaching job, and went to that year's Sasquatch that Built to Spill was playing. And all of a sudden, I was that guy super stoked to see Built to Spill around thousands of people who just wanted to see Macklemore. I was waiting for him. And lo and behold, the last song they put, I'm there with my brother and my fiance and my wife and my brother's friends. They're 7 years younger than me, so they were in like elementary school when I was in high school. I was like, you listen to this band. This band will change your life. And so I could experience that with all of them and hugging and going crazy and just freaking out all these people. Like, what is this? What is going on? Why does people have this love? But they closed with Carry the Zero on that 2013 Sasquatch show, and I just lost it. and was going crazy, and then had the tears run down my face. I was like, I'm that girl. I'm that girl now that was doing that. And there's some kid here that has no idea what they're seeing. They're seeing this guy freak out. So maybe in some weird way, it had an impact, but not a big deal, but just like something silly, but also just like a release. Like, things are going to be okay. I'm going to roll with life. I've got a job, get married, and just kind of rolling through life. Get to like the third piece of the story. It was actually this past summer in 2019. I go through this weird medical thing where I actually lose vision in my left eye and just go from like living life to having this weird diagnosis of a brain injury that like I couldn't see. It was super strange. I had double vision and just kind of changed perspective, and everything scary got ruled out. They said I had a brain blip.
Brain blip, the actual medical term that was
that was what this guy with 18 degrees on his wall at the Swedish Medical Center told me, was I had a strange blip, but, and they can't figure it out, yeah. But then, so I had to rock an eye patch for about a month, and it really kind of changed. Like, I lived a very, like I said, white, straight male, but a very privileged life. And this was the first time that I was stared at in public, pointed at, laughed at, wearing a eye patch around, but also like children were the ones that were the most, I loved it. And I'm the greeter at the front door of my school. So you can imagine the first day of school, and I didn't tell anybody. So like, a few kids saw me on like scheduled pickup day, but a lot didn't know. And I'm just greeting everybody with an eye patch. And so I get to like have that day. I'm just greeting everybody and just kind of like living through the different things. And some kids were...
What age range are we, or general age range?
Middle school, and there's a small high school attached as well. So okay. Like six, it was mostly the middle schoolers. And it's funny, like by grade level, like the eighth graders, like immediately, like were like concerned and cared. The seventh graders called me a pirate, and the sixth graders wouldn't talk to me. They're like, who is this guy's like some one-eyed guy? That so it's funny. I tell that story because like I am like going through that day and just kind of processing, like, man, what is this? How it's gonna be? Your kids always gonna be weird, mean now. And the kids are always kind of a little bit mean, but and then all of a sudden I get a letter on my phone. It's like, oh, they built this bill, keep it like a secret tour is coming to Tacoma, and I go, amazing. Favorite band, favorite album. I'll sing my favorite song in my new favorite venue. And so it's just like that day I got to find out. So then it was only a couple weeks later that show happened because it was in late addition to their tour. But miraculously, just 2 weeks later, the doctor said the eye went back to normal and I was totally fine. So I went through this like weird month of like unknown to back to like, okay, life's back to normal. And then I get to go and see my band play the favorite album, which I assumed they would play in order. And they played Carry the Zero last again, which kind of maybe the connection of like, maybe the song means more to him than I thought. And it means as much as I think it means. And just really hit me of more of like, instead of just rolling with life, of being like, because that Carry the Zero moment really hit of like, okay, it's a simple concept in doing math is to carry the zero. Well, don't forget the little things. Enjoy the moments. You know, sometimes you might mess up. There's going to be things. And so this was kind of like a kind of culminating feeling of like, I've gone from be myself to roll with life, to, you know, actually enjoy it. Life is short, and just really be you and enjoy other people's company and be aware of your impact. And that's kind of the weird, crazy journey. And then I got capped off at the beginning of this quarantine. I actually spent the last day of school was my birthday. So I got publicly humiliated and like, the kids loved it. They put cake in my face and silly string. And that's like the last day of school. And that we'll have probably for the foreseeable future, maybe even till fall. And then I was like, okay, I got to go on musical journeys. I'm going to explore some things. And I found one of my favorite bands with a female lead is Hop Along, and her name is Frances Quinlan.
God, it's the closer to that album. I wanted to see that this entire time.
Yep. And I play around, and I'm at the bottom. I'm like listening to this song. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, I'm having like a double take, a deja vu. I was like, this is Carry the Zero. She plays Carrie. This is my favorite female singer playing my favorite song by my favorite band. Just had like this moment of like, is there anybody else out there like me? Is this just made for me? But just like, but also like some positivity, like that could have been a really like weird dark time. Like, hey, you know, this is great and cool and like a unique way for somebody else to hear this song. And you actually hear the lyrics a lot better the way she sings it, to be honest. And so it's like, you have this jammy version that they wrote, and then this version that Francis takes is just awesome. So it's just kind of cool. The song's kind of living on, and it's just, you know, like a unique journey. Like, it's not incredibly important, but it's just like the song's kind of been a guide to my life and my path. And it's just been a cool way to kind of stay grounded and just be who I am.
I think that that is the mark of like both a really good song, as well as the mark of potentially like a favorite song or a favorite band, because there are a lot of songs that if you asked me when I was 16 or when I was 22 or when I was 25, what my favorite song was, I might have said, you know, X, Y, or Z, but those songs did not stick with me. A lot of those songs didn't stick with me. But there have been a couple artists for me that have changed, like the way that I listen to them has changed so much over time and have managed to adapt with me. And so what you're saying is like, that is what you just said there is like the perfect definition of a favorite song or a favorite band.
I can't be your apologist. Very long. I'm surprised that you want to carry that on. Count your blemishes. You can't. They're all gone.
How else would you say music helps influence your career and education?
It's my decompression. It's my drug. It's my way to like, if I've had a rough day, I'm lucky enough to put on my Bluetooth in my car and just drive. And I have a nice little drive that actually goes along the Tacoma waterfront, and I can just morning and evening just kind of have music just kind of meditate me in a way and get me to a space where I need to be. If I've had a hard conversation or if I have to deal with some pretty confidential things, it just is my like filter to kind of ground me back to where I am.
As an educator, in this period of time, what would you want people to know about being on the educator side of things right now? Because I know a lot of people are on the parent side of things, where you know, at home with their kids all the time, and you know, the kids are doing, you know, Zoom classes and whatnot. But from an educator side, kind of, what would you have to say?
I think the biggest thing that I think if I talk to everybody is there's no educator thinks it's a vacation. Like, everybody is just as bummed as every kid that they're not being able to see each other. That's the biggest thing. It's a huge sense of loss that we missed a whole school year. There's eighth graders and high schoolers in my school that aren't going to get their moments. But at the same time, kind of being grounded, be like, all right, these moments you'll have in the future will be that much sweeter. And to really, for me, in my role, is like that social emotional support is like, the work isn't as important right now. It's like what you're talking about, what you're doing, how you're treating each other. And just kind of being kind through all this is my biggest message. Just to kind of like, yes, this is something that's happening. We're going to learn a new normal. But at the same time, every educator cares about their kids. And that's the message that I would bring.
I feel like it's so hard to be fully remote, like in a way that no one's ever had to adapt to before. So,
yeah, it's definitely like I don't feel useful, but that doesn't mean I'm useless. So it's just kind of a weird time. So, but it's just definitely using and definitely just healing through music for sure. Just kind of finding new things. And that's the kind of thing I can look forward to. Every Friday, there's new things. I'll check websites. I'm taking way more risks musically now. And I think that's kind of a cool thing in a way to heal, just taking risks and learning new things.
Fair. And I know I said that was my last question, but I really need to ask this.
Yeah.
What was the highlight of being a security guard at a fireworks stand? That has been on my mind the whole time we've been talking.
Honestly, it was a strange, like I've had a few strange jobs. I may not even be the strangest, but that just highlight was probably the one time I thought I caught somebody. But then I realized like once I turned the corner, like what was I going to do? I don't have a baseball bat. and headphones. Like, it just was kind of like,
that's what
like,
they really, paired you with.
That was, yeah, that was my like thing. And it was like, I got to like live in, but I don't know, it was kind of like my first like isolation experience, honestly, to kind of tie that to this. Like, I was by myself, the only, like, felt like I was the only person awake. But yeah, that was just a strange experience to kind of, I mean, because I was very social, to kind of just like spend my hours awake with nobody else. And so that was just kind of a pretty cool experience. And I think that's why doing odd jobs is just a really cool way to kind of almost learn more of that than actually like going through college, to be honest. So it's just kind of like learning through experience.
Totally, totally fair. I always tell everyone that my all-time favorite job is a tie between doing roofing and being a hibachi waiter. Nice. It's always been a tie for me. Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time and telling us your story. I still think it's so cool when a song can resonate for so long with someone. So thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us.
Well, awesome. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you both.
Thank you.
And have a great week, everyone.
Awesome. You too.
This episode was edited by me, Anil Maharjan. My co-host is Sarah Harrison. Additional editing and mixing was done by Chris Maffei at Multitrack Mind. You can check out their full line of services at multitrackminds.com. Special thanks this week to Ryan for telling his story. Send us a message to let us know whether Francis Quinlan managed to outdo Built to Spill. And as always, if you're interested in telling your story, submit the form on our Instagram page or email us thesongthatgotmethrough@gmail.com. Till next time, don't lose touch.
So one of the other things that I really loved as you were talking about Sasquatch in the second year versus Sasquatch many years later was that the headliner was The Roots originally, yeah. And then it was Macklemore, and that amused me to absolutely no end. Yeah. And I just want to know, did you stay to see Macklemore?
I did. I would say that part of the night may have been a little more hazy.